We are so pleased to have you back here with us again. This is a place for you to relax. It's a place for you to unwind. And it's a place for you to think about cereal. Hello. Welcome to The Empty Bowl, a meditative podcast about cereal. My name is Justin McElroy, and I'm a cereal enthusiast.
And my name is Dan Goubert, and I am a cereal storm chaser caught up in this whirlwind of new cereal news and also a real thunderstorm that is storming up a storm out my window right now. So if any stormy ambiance comes through to this recording, you can just pretend that, you know, instead of our usual setting of pretending we're floating on a cereal sailboat on a sea of milk, you can pretend that we are safe in your seaside cottage overlooking the sea from the side.
We have a lot of cereal news to tell you all. It sort of all came in at once. It's as close as we get to hectically running around the Empty Bowl newsroom.
clutching papers, slamming file cabinets.
Scooping up leads and confirming with our sources. So we're going to go through that. We have one brief review for you, but I don't know whether it'll be that brief because I have a suspicion it may be exceptional. Juicy, thank you. And we'll have a little bit more freewheeling discussion later in our third segment. But Dan, let's not wait any longer. Tell me about what's going on in the world of cereal.
So there's another entry into the esteemed lineage of Little Debbie / Kellogg's collaboration cereals. So far we've gotten oatmeal cream pie cereal, cosmic brownie cereal, Nutty Buddy cereal, and now Little Debbie Swiss Rolls cereal.
Yeah, this series. How do you feel about this series overall, Dan? And how does that sort of? Well, actually, allow me if I may talk about the Swiss cake roll for a moment.
Please.
I should clarify because I went to school with a lot of these in my lunchbox. If you're from, I think a Swiss roll is probably more common in
Switzerland.
Europe. Yeah, Switzerland. I know I've seen a lot on Great British Bake Off, but it's sort of a small rolled up chocolate double spread cake with cream inside and then enrobed in the finest plastic chocolate money can buy. And there's two to a pack, so it's a real treat.
Did you grow up eating these a lot, you're saying?
Yeah, my mom used to put a Little Debbie in my lunch every day. This is not like, I mean, I like them more than Star Crunch. Probably a little bit like Cosmic Brownies are better than these, but Swiss Cake Rolls are better than Nutty Buddies. It's like there's a whole tier.
There's a detailed hierarchy taking up a lot of bandwidth in your brain at any given moment.
I don't know. How do you feel about this series, and how does it inform your sort of thoughts on the Swiss Cake Roll cereal?
It's a very, I was going to say hit or miss line of cereals from Little Debbie, but I don't know if that's quite accurate because, like, none of them have been super hits, and I guess none of them have been, like, really catastrophic misses.
Yeah.
They've been really just, like, middle of the road for the most part. The oatmeal cream pie one they did first was definitely the best, even though it didn't really taste like oatmeal cream pies. The cosmic brownie, definitely the most disappointing, very blandly chocolated. And then the Nutty Buddy was kind of surprisingly all right. It had a nice, like, butterscotchiness, weirdly enough, to it. But it was the kind of thing where it didn't really hold my interest through the entirety of a box. So I feel like the Swiss Rolls cereal, when you look at it, there's nothing, obviously shape aside, that sets it apart structurally from what the Cosmic Brownie cereal probably tasted like.
Yeah,
I can't really imagine it tasting too much different, which is sad because I did grow up eating Swiss rolls a lot, too. I really like how, you know, obviously I like how you can peel them apart and really dissect them as you're eating them, as you unfurl them and enjoy the creamy innards. And I also like how they straight up just one up the Hostess Ho-Ho by giving you two to a pack instead of one. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I really like Little Debbie branding and the whole extended universe of snack cakes, but it's just one of those things that, like, unless you're willing to do something extra to add a level of decadence into the cereal to really, really echo what the snack cake is all about. It kind of just feels like the lowest common denominator translation of, oh, this is a chocolatey, creamy snack. Let's make a chocolate spiral puffed piece and say that there's a creamy coating when it's probably just the same sugary icing that's on every single cereal that's ever existed. So, I don't know. I mean, I'll never totally say that a cereal is going to be bad before I taste it. That's probably a lie, because I think we've done that many times on this show. But I'll still try it and then see what the presumed fuss is presumably all about.
I'll hold out hopes. I think you're realizing that, like, how much of a role, like, texture plays in these cereal, in these snacks, right?
How much,
like,
of a role?
There, thank you. How much of a role that the texture plays in these? Because if you try to remove that from them, I think it's hard to nail even something approximating the spirit of these.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be nice to see the milk gushing inside these swirl-shaped pieces. I think they'll have a nice aesthetic appeal, much like the Cinnabon cereal. But
Would have loved a cream representative. I feel like that was missing in oatmeal cream pie, and I would love to see some sort of marshmallow or something to approximate that.
With the obsession of just tossing in those small white marshmallows, that'd be kind of a no-brainer for a cream-filled snack cake cereal. But maybe next time.
This next one looks good, Dan, but I don't know, man. I don't know.
Rainbow?
Maybe.
Krispies. Which is, like, the closest to Fruity Pebbles a non-Fruity Pebbles cereal has possibly ever come. This is, like, they're Krispies, but they're rainbow-colored, and even the way they portray them on the box makes them look more flat and disc-like, like a Fruity Pebble.
You mean... this is like, yes, Fruity Pebbles, like off-brand, off-brand Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah, off-brand, but still name brand, just adjacent and from Kellogg's, I guess. And I don't know, this is not even really related to the cereal, but a pet peeve that I have about Krispies in particular is that it's like impossible to look up any new flavor of a Rice Krispies cereal and find any information about it, because like... The mass proliferation of different, like, recipes for different Krispies treats out there, like, totally clogs the SEO for any, like, actual Krispies cereal. So if I look up Rainbow Krispies, if I look up Fruity Krispies, I'm just going to get 1,000 recipes for, like, homemade Fruity Rice Krispies treats or rainbow-colored ones.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
I wonder, have you heard anything about the flavor of these?
I mean, it's ostensibly just... Fruity. I did see...
I mean, yes, Dan, I think it would be weird if it was, like, bitter. bitter Krispies.
Sour Krispies. Sweet and sour hickory smoked barbecue Krispies.
They're rainbow colored, yeah, but they're nacho blasted.
I did see John Riggs is another guy who does a lot of cereal content, and he posted about how he thought it tasted like the old Rainbow Bright cereal, which is not something that I've ever tasted, and it's impressive that he can have such, like, arcane recall of what such an old cereal tasted like. But I know if you tasted something that tasted just like, say, Smurfberry Crunch, it'd probably awaken those old echoes of memory really well for you. So.
I mean, that to me is very, I mean, that's really exciting. I mean, that something is captured. He has to reach that far back into the annals, right, to describe the flavor, and it's also definitely aesthetically... It looks a lot like Rainbow Bright, which was probably informing that, I would guess, to a certain extent. But, I mean, that's exciting. I mean, we'll have a new, you know, a genuine new flavor here. That would be quite a treat.
Yeah, I want to hope that there's someone, like, at Kellogg's or another big cereal company with, like, our same encyclopedic knowledge of old cereals. And, like, on the sly, they're trying to recreate these old formulas. Mm-hmm. That's my headcanon.
What's next? Rice Krispies refuses to stop.
Mm-hmm. Once you snap, crackle, pop, you just can't snap, crackle, stop. And so Rice Krispies is also teaming up with Frankford, again, the candy company that produces so many different cereal-based confections for all different kinds of corporate entities, because they've worked with Pebbles a lot, too.
Yeah.
So maybe Rice Krispies is really just stealing from the Pebbles playbook entirely, those sneaky little elves. But Frankfurt and Kellogg's are introducing two Rice Krispies-flavored candy bars that come in both Marshmallow Krispies and Strawberry Krispies. And I don't know. When I posted about this, I saw a lot of people echoing the fact that, like, Frankfurt is, like, bottom of the barrel when it comes to confection quality. And it kind of tends to taste a lot kind of cheap and mass-produced.
The eggs were rough. Like, those foil-wrapped eggs, they were, like, impossible to open without leaving, like, I would say, like, every third one you'd eat, there'd be, like, a little foil left in it, like, just that you didn't get unstuck. And it's, the flavor of them was just not worth the, not quite worth that.
Something about just, like, a crispy marshmallow-flavored candy bar does not sit right with me. As someone who doesn't really eat just marshmallows, the thought of, like, a creamy, crunchy marshmallow and nothing else is a little unsettling, but I'm sure there's an audience for these. There's gotta be, right?
Gotta be. Now, I got a big kick out of your tweets about this as somebody who is the daughter of two young girls.
You're the daughter of two young girls?
No, excuse me, I misspoke. As the father of two young girls. Heck yeah, an experiment gone wrong. Miraculous, as she's known around our house.
Okay. So you are familiar with this branded property that I've never heard of before yesterday.
As I understand it, I think it's a French series that was redubbed for America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when I posted about never having heard of this, many people told me bits and pieces about what Miraculous is all about, and it's getting its own cereal, and it is a strawberry macaron flavored cereal, which I'm told is actually very relevant to the plot of the story because this main character works in a Parisian bakery, so it all makes sense.
It all adds up.
Well, obviously, I think it's going to be, it's pretty crazy, pretty bold to say that your cereal is going to taste like this very dainty and subtly flavored and intricately crafted French dessert. Yeah. Like, what are the odds there's actually anything in this cereal that can palpably be described as macaron-esque?
Now, what I would guess is that you're going to get an almond.
I hope so.
Component, right? Like that would be, if you brought like almond flavor in with the vanilla, like if you have a strong almond note, I can see you passing that as macaron maybe. But macarons are a lot like Little Debbie's Dan. Let me explain.
please.
It's just a texture. Like the texture is so key to it. Like it's almost like, I don't know, it seems a misadventure to try to capture that without all the components.
Yeah, if they're able to actually integrate some sort of almond, strawberry, unique flavor like that, it would be, in a word, miraculous.
Yeah. Now, just when we thought we wouldn't have enough material for an episode, Kellogg's just sort of charges to our, General Mills just sort of rushes to our rescue with a whole lot of great new stuff. I don't know if it's great, bomb. But it's exciting.
Yeah, so General Mills has announced its June new cereal lineup. And a lot of these will be familiar to you from past episodes, you know, because you can trust us to get the most inside scoop possible on things that have not been officially announced yet. So the Lucky Charms and Cocoa Puffs minis, the Ninja Turtles cereal, the Vanilla Spice Cheerios, and the Tres Leches Toast Crunch are all part of this lineup, but there were a couple surprises that even I was not aware of until General Mills, you know, told us about them. And I'd say, going in order of how I am excited for them, the least exciting would probably be the Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse cereal. Not to say that the movie doesn't look good, because it does, but this cereal looks like It's hard to tell if it's from the box art alone because it's kind of pixelated at this point, and I haven't gotten official high-res images, but it does just look like a fruity or perhaps strawberry-puffed cereal with Spider-Man-ish marshmallows attached.
Yeah,
as well.
It is not, y'all. It's not encouraging.
Yeah, no.
It's rough.
All
it's
the
really
budget
rough.
Went towards the movie CGI, and their cereal budget was kind of just, you know, whatever was left afterwards.
Yeah, it's really... I would really like to try a great Spider-Man cereal, but oh man, I'm predisposed to enjoying superhero themed cereals, and this one just looks...
Yeah, they peaked with the Spidey Berry Pop-Tarts a few years ago, I think.
But I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
Yeah, you never know what to expect.
Tell you, what are you most excited about?
Well, next most exciting would probably be Kit Kat cereal, which
okay.
might sound familiar because we talked about that two episodes ago when it was only available in Europe, and they wasted no time importing this one into the U.S., it seems. And, you know, it like we said, it kind of looks like the old Fiber One chocolate squares cereal, and, you know, probably won't be too far off from a Cosmic Brownie or Swiss Roll cereal either in terms of its taste, much like, you know, the delicate texture of a Swiss Roll or a macaron. It'd be kind of hard to get that very specific waferish you know, nuance to an actual cereal piece. Not that cereal pieces aren't, you know, light and airy, but like getting that, like maybe if they had coated it in some sort of thick chocolatiness, then that more airy like crunch inside could pair very well to it. But Kit Kat, it seems like cereal makers really like to base their cereals off of things that are so texture dependent, and I don't really get it. I mean, just
well,
seeing,
and it also leaves this part of me. It kind of feels like it's a letting yourself off the hook, right? Like, well, of course, if we didn't make it taste just like that, we can't nail that texture.
We did the best we could. Yeah, but seeing a big bold Kit Kat cereal box that looks like the candy wrapper, and just getting candy bar representation in the cereal aisle in general, is relatively exciting to me. Yeah. Not quite as exciting as Maple Brown Sugar Chex, though.
Oh my god, Dan, that's the one for me, bud.
Yeah,
that's the one for me. That hit.
We were just talking about how Chex isn't really, you know, innovating as much as they used to back in the day. What with like the Ninja Turtles, Ninja Nets, and the Crunchy Chex, whatever that was called, Chex Crisp. I don't even remember. But Maple Brown Sugar Chex just seems like a straight winner to me. Any Maple Brown Sugar cereal that I've ever tried has been a vast hit. I think of the maple brown sugar, maple pecan, or whatever it was, Honey Bunches of Oats that were so fantastic. And if this can replicate even a fraction of that one's power, I think it's sure to be a sticky, sweet, satisfying success.
Oh, well, we can certainly hope so. Anything else on this image stand out to you?
So the last one is cereal adjacent. It is two soft-baked oat bars from both Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Golden Grahams S'mores, respectively. Hmm. And where I'm at nowadays is that, like, normal cereal bars where it's just bits of cereal globbed together don't really appeal as much to me as things like this that are softer and doughier and more like soft, sweet biscuits that are infused with cereal flavor. So I think these are going to be great. The S'mores one specifically, I mean, Golden Grahams, S'mored or not, can do no wrong in my book. So
right.
Having this sweet little Grammy square that is then topped with some sort of chocolate drizzle just seems like a really great sweet little treat that maybe I can justifiably call a breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Spider-Man's. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe it'll be great. We'll have to go into the Spider-Verse to find out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dan, speaking of cereals that... we have actually this. We're gonna pivot from the future into the. I was gonna say present, but we're not present. In the near past, I would hope we're not actively consuming Frosted Lemon Cheerios as we record this podcast.
Now, but, you speak for yourself.
I got this as part of a beautiful spring box that I was thrilled to receive. What else was it? Did you get this a similar...
Wait, you got this in the mail? I had to ask my mom to get it for me. Thanks, Mom.
No, I got this in a beautiful box from General Mills that had some it had some cherry pie Lara bars and some Reese's Puffs bunnies in there. But this was the one that I was really excited to check out.
And it is so good, too.
It's so good.
This is my early contender for cereal of the year for this first quarter of the year so far. Like, nothing else that has come out this year has stuck out in my memory nearly as much. Like, it's such a breath of fresh air. Because, like, after so many cinnamon cereals, after so many just normal chocolate cocoa powder cereals, to taste this lemony, sweet lemon that, like, you know, with the exception of Trix, which is kind of a more, like, candied generic citrus cereal, there's nothing out there that's giving you this same sweet lemon flavor profile. Like, it's halfway between a lemon bar and, like, a yellow Starburst to me. And on top of, like, that impeccable Cheerios toasted oat base, which literally can do no wrong in my book, this is just really bright, refreshing, juicy. Maybe the lemon could have been a little stronger. That's some criticism that I've heard. But when you put it all in milk, it doesn't really matter to me because this is...
Yeah, that's actually what I was going to say. I feel like the lemon being stronger might actually... start to clash with the milk, like, especially as that started to, like, dilute a little bit, you start to get, like, a very lemony milk, I think would be a problem. Like, I think that the amount that they have, it's like a very sweet, my mouth is watering, talk about this here. It's like a very sweet, fresh lemon. Like, it's refreshing on the palate without being super tangy.
Yeah, this is one of those cereals where I feel like a lot of cereals, when you put it in milk, it just feels like the milk is kind of washing away a lot of the flavor. But this is one where the flavor of the cereal, like, complements the milk in such a nice way and gives it that subtle touch of tangy sweetness without being overwhelming, so that you really are delighted to not forget to drink the milk at the end of every bowl.
I think that we at this point I think I'm willing to concede that Cheerios is the best, like, platform, right?
Oh,
the best cereal platform, right?
I mean, it's just so versatile. The toasted oat, it doesn't have that corniness problem that you have to, like, temper with other flavors and worry about it clashing. The toasted oat just plays so nicely that I can't think of, like, any cereal flavor that wouldn't be better on a Cheerios base versus whatever sort of puffed corn or wheat or rice or otherwise is being used. And I hope they keep going with this fruitiness trend, because, like, the strawberry Cheerios were amazing as well. The coconut Cheerios were also really good.
Yeah.
And, like, I think exploring different realms of fruit flavor in isolation, like, it's easy to do a mixed fruit, mixed berry cereal or wherever, where everything kind of muddles together. But doing something like the Frosted Lemon, where this one fruit gets the spotlight and you can really say, wow, this is unique because no other cereal has done just this fruit before, I think it's a really, really great way to go about it. I want to see, like, a sweet orange creamsicle Cheerios next, much like the old Cream Pop Cap'n Crunch.
Yeah, that'd be a delight. Let's see. We have a question here for our third segment. It says, "Hi, Dan and Justin. After hearing your favorable review of the refrigerated pancake cereal on episode 85, I was wondering what other kinds of cereal innovations might be interesting that would be kept cold or even frozen. Got any ideas? Maybe real fruit pieces could be included in something rather than just freeze-dried? Or maybe very tiny baked goods would work? Thanks very much for making The Empty Bowl. It is my favorite podcast." That's Nola from Alabama.
Yeah.
What do you think, Dan? Any of these, are you able to innovate on the fly like this?
Well, the first thing that springs to mind for me would be, like, cookie dough bits, basically. Because I think of the Keebler cereal that came out several years ago, and while it was ultimately pretty forgettable, and I can't remember a lot of people talking about it besides me, I thought it was very clever how they had these, like, really unique crumbly cookie bits, cookie dough bits that were inside of it, which, like, they weren't actual cookie dough, of course, because it was a shelf-stable product, but the unique texture there and pop of flavor that did not resemble anything else that I'd had in the cereal was, like, very uniquely decadent. And I feel like for a refrigerated or freeze frozen cereal product to have actual little bites of cookie dough could give such a nice, like, creamy burst to complement anything else.
Mm.
I guess the question I have would be, like, would a refrigerated cereal that includes actual cereal pieces, like, how does a corn puff fare in a refrigerated environment? Does that, like, do anything to its texture or flavor over time? That
I feel like there are a tightening. I feel like a hardened corn pop would result from that.
Yeah, so maybe, I don't know if like a Cheerio would be any better in that case, or if this needs to be something like the pancake cereal that is consists entirely of something that is not a typical dry cereal product. So maybe like in that case, they could do an actual macaron cereal with actual macarons. Now that would probably be a very expensive cereal, very pricey, yeah, but
tough to ship.
Maybe that's the way of going about it, is making like super exclusive designer dessert cereals that maybe if you don't eat them like an actual cereal like that, but that can be your mix-in for some sort of existing cereal.
See, I was thinking that way with like a whipped cream, like being able to like integrate that, like a little pouch of whipped cream that would be, you know, that you upend into the cereal. That would be a really nice, I think that'd be a nice combo.
Or maybe something like how we talked about that one TikTok trend about like making a peanut butter bowl or something. Maybe there's like a pre-existing refrigerated or frozen cereal product that comes with that like layers of flavor baked into it. So it's like a sedimentary pre-made cereal bowl that you can carve into at your leisure, like a 7-layer cake of a cereal.
I think we're going to have trouble marketing this to people, Dan. It's a fairly nuanced concept.
It's my elevator pitch. We just have to hope it's a very, very long elevator ride.
Yeah.
That we're stuck in the elevator for several hours.
Yeah, I'm going to have to flip the power, cut the circuit breaker to the elevator.
For the greater good, though. The greater good.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. If you want to share anything with us, you can email us, mail@bowl.rest. Bowl.rest is also the place where you can go to donate to the show, if you would be so kind. You can pledge anywhere from $1 to $10 a month, and we sure appreciate that if you can do it. How about you know, this is an interesting enough question, Dan. How about we bring back a voicemail for this one? See if anybody wants to wade in on this. But you know, bring refrigeration technology into the world of cereal. What are you able to unleash? If you go to bowl.rest, you can leave us a voicemail there.
That's a good question.
Yeah. And we would love to hear from you. Anybody else we owe gratitude to, Dan?
We'd like to thank Chris Zabriskie for our opening theme of The Sun is Scheduled to Come Out Tomorrow, Bria Davis for our lovely podcast branding, as well as M. Loper and Samuel Rarden for designing our Empty Bowl merchandise. Oh, and there's one more thing that I thought of. Remember in our last episode how we were talking about the little things about cereal that we enjoy?
Yeah.
I just thought of a new one while I was reflecting on my bowl of Frosted Lemon Cheerios last night. Something I really like about cereal is when you hit that point in a bowl where the ratio of cereal to milk is so perfect, such a golden ratio, that like the amount of cereal that you have in the bowl is perfectly distributed in like one blanketed layer over the milk on the bottom. So it's not like a big pile of cereal. It's just like this one membrane of cereal on top of the milk that is equal parts, at this point, spoonable and slurpable. And it just, and you can even, you know, jiggle the bowl around in your hand a little bit and make sweet cereal waves before you enjoy the rest of the bowl. I'm just thinking about that sweet, perfect moment. Anyway, don't forget to drink the milk.
Lulled me into a false sense of security.
Got membranes on the brain.